For those of you who have been following along for Advent and for church, we have been following the core scriptures. You're sitting on them.
Signing.
Bill, the law. You're sitting on them. There you go.
No, he's looking to sign in.
Oh.
I'll do that later. That's okay.
I don't know. Anyway, if you've been following us, can you tell that we don't rehearse? Amen? This is very much live, and it just happens as it happens. But anyway, we have been studying the core beliefs for our church. You know, if you've been following along, you know one thing about us as an independent church: we are non-creedal. There is no creed that anybody has to subscribe to in order to be a part of this church, and that's really, really important, because that means that you, as folks who attend this church and are a part of this community, you get to own your faith rather than rent it. And I cannot tell you how important that is, because one of the things that will differentiate Gentle Spirit Christian Church from almost every other church on the face of the earth is that we have kind of figured out, and yes, I'm going to sound arrogant at this point, that it is not about fixing people. It is about meeting needs. Amen?
And where people are.
Jesus never walked into a group of people and said, are you people screwed up? Let me fix it. What Jesus did do, though, is wait for people to come to him and say, hey, I've got this need. And Jesus would meet the need. Think about that. Now, it was based on that that this church was formulated. And for those of you who have been following along, you know that we have a structure that we've built, kind of in your mind.
On the website.
It's on the website. You can find it. It's under Core Beliefs. But anyway, here it is. And we have covered thus far the foundation, which was what? Matthew 22. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what's the second?
Love one another.
Love your neighbor as yourself. Amen? And then after we had that foundation in, we started putting in the support posts. James 3:17 tells us, what is the message that's coming from God? Well, the wisdom that comes from heaven is what? First of all, pure, peace-loving, submissive, full of good fruit. Then Micah is another support post in the foundation that tells us, you know, we know what we're supposed to be doing, amen? We're supposed to be fair. We're supposed to be compassionate. And mostly, be humble in our relationship with God. And then Matthew is the other support post, Matthew 25. And I got to tell you that this is one of my favorite scriptures, because the whole time I was growing up, people would always go around going, Pastor, you've got to be born again. You've got to be born again. You've got to take Jesus as your personal Savior. And I know I sound sarcastic, but I read this, and I would say to those folks, well, what about this? Jesus was explaining to people what was important to God, what was going to keep people in heaven and out of heaven. And it was simple. We see somebody that's hungry, we what? We feed them. We see somebody that needs something to drink, we give them a drink. We see people lacking clothes, we dress them. People that are sick and in prison. You see, it is a whole piece of the foundation of what do we spend our time doing. And then, of course, Romans, because you could get into trouble doing these other four posts, right? Amen? Tell me yes, James. Yeah. So then, how does that start off? Paul had it right. What are we going to say about this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Nobody. Now, I don't know where you're going to get that information, but now there's another piece that I think is key to this, that allows us to not do any of it. You know, if you come out to the park, you'll notice that foundation that we just talked about, we're sitting on it, man. We're in a pavilion. Got the foundation here. They have more support posts. I suppose we could come up with more scripture. Hey, Alice, you're our education lady. Come up with two more. But today, we're putting on the roof. And the reason we're putting on the roof is because, you know, We got to have a way to feel safe. We got to have a way to know that it's okay to do all these other things. What does the scripture say? It comes from John 14, beginning with the first verse. Don't let this rattle you. You trust God, don't you? Then trust me. There's plenty of room for you in my Creator's home. If it weren't so, would I have told you that I'm on my way to get a room ready for you? And if I'm on my way to get your room ready, I'll come back and get you so you can live where I live. Amen. Folks, you know, I think we live in a world now where fear is the name of the game. Amen. We're afraid of viruses. We got to be afraid going to a mall. You got to be afraid going to school. Okay, so I dug up a couple of stories that might help make the point about this. There was a minister one time by the name of Garrison, and he went to a small cafeteria for lunch. The food was delicious. However, he discovered he had a little appetite. You see, he was angry over something that had happened earlier in the day. He had been refused. Are you ready for this? Are you sitting down? He had been refused an honorary membership at the local country club. Oh my. They didn't give him an honorary membership to the golf club. And there was a time, folks, especially in small communities, when this courtesy was often extended to pastors. This was a time when pastors were notoriously underpaid. But this pastor was turned down for the courtesy. We don't know why, but he decided that he was turned down because the people of the town and of the golf club didn't appreciate him or his ministry. Now, as he was walking back to the car, as the story goes, he was reflecting on the fact that his car was already a year old and he didn't have a new car yet, when he caught a man. His eye caught a man that was obviously homeless. In fact, the man had some real problems physically. His right arm was missing from the elbow down. His right foot was twisted at a 90-degree angle. And his other leg was gone from the knee down. His right eye didn't match up with his left. And suddenly the pastor realized at that moment he had a different perspective. Because that guy that he saw had far more challenges than the pastor had in not being in the golf club. And that's part of what this says today, is we fear so many things. We fear whether we've got the right friends. We fear whether we're going to the right church. We fear whether we've got the right job. We fear all kinds of stuff. There was a couple that went on a honeymoon, and you know where they went? They were in Washington, D.C., and they went to the Watergate. Now, for those of you who are my age or a little bit younger, maybe Dan's age, you know what the Watergate is, amen? Right? For those of you who are much younger, Ma Marie, Daryl, the Watergate it was a hotel that became famous because of Richard Nixon. It was what caused him to have to resign. And when they got to the hotel, They were somewhat cynical, right, and somewhat paranoid. They were worried that, my God, we're in the Watergate. It might have a bug in it. People might actually see what we do on our honeymoon. And so they started looking all through the room, if you will, for the bug. I mean, they were looking in closets, behind mirrors, up by the lamps, and they finally picked up a piece of carpeting, and they found something that was round with four screws in it. They decided that must be a listening device. So they unscrewed it, took it out, walked out onto the patio of the hotel, and threw it away. The next morning, as they're getting ready to leave, the manager asked them how their stay was at the Watergate. And the curious groom said, well, you know, and of course he asked them a whole bunch of questions. And finally the groom said, well, why are you asking how we're doing? We're not leaving just yet. And the whole manager said, well, the room under yours complained about a chandelier falling on them. Sometimes our paranoia takes us to places we don't need to go. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. This is supposed to be about peace and hope. So today, as you're getting ready, we're 2 weeks, folks, from Christmas. I'm going to ask you to sit back this morning and ask yourself this question. What's important to you today? What is it that What is it that gives you trouble? Is your heart troubled? Are you worried about something and you can't seem to get past it? Are you angry? Are you envious? Are you stressed out? Are you maybe bitter? You know, the list can go on and on and on. And my guess is that most of them boil down to that one word. What is it that we fear? You know, Augusta, when he was the emperor of Rome, couldn't sleep. And he heard about this guy that had no money, zero money, was in poverty. And yet he slept peacefully every night. Augusta heard about it and went to that guy and took his bed. Because maybe that would solve his sleep problem. If a poor guy could sleep in this particular bed and not be worried, then I want his bed. And he took his bed. Amen. How many people do you know that in trying to make their life better, make your life miserable? Amen. Hear the message this morning that comes from Jesus. It's an assurance. It's the one thing that we've got in this church. It does not matter where you've been. It doesn't matter where you're going. But there is a place for you to arrive at. That is what Jesus has promised us. And more than that, Jesus has assured us that he'll come back and get us. You know what we're dealing with in my family. And that's the one thing that has kind of held me together at this point, is my mother's rock-fast assurance that no matter what the outcome of this journey is, that she, at the end, when she breathes her last here, is going to be with God. How much more can we ask for, folks? What is it that you're really worried about? I think that there's some things that we could do today that will help for the rest of Christmas and the rest of the way through. One, change your perspective. Those things that you think are important, maybe you ought to ask whether God thinks they're important. We have the support post. What does God think is important? Feeding people, clothing people, visiting people, praying with people, forgiving people. And I've never told anybody to pray for patience, but let's try being patient. Amen? I mean, one of the things that we've learned by being out in the park, I remember when we first came out to the park, we had several members of the church that used to keep coming up to me, going, how long are we going to be out here, Pastor? Because we just assumed we were going to find a building. Well, God gave us an answer to that, didn't he? We're still here. 15 years later, we're still in the park and doing incredible ministry. There was a time, folks, that I thought that I was going to be some hotshot pastor with a mega church. That isn't the deal. That isn't where the work really gets done. Change your perspective. Be patient about what God wants from you. And finally, more importantly, is realize and believe in the presence of God in your life. I have gone to prepare a place for you. Folks, Romans says nothing can get between us and God. Well, the reason nothing can get between us and God is because Jesus has promised us to go and prepare a place. There's a room waiting for you. Nobody can take that away from you. Not the church, not your jobs, not your friends, nobody. That room is prepared for you and your name is on it. Do you have a troubled heart this morning? Ask God to give you a new perspective. Ask God to give you patience so you're not constantly living in dread of things that may never occur. And finally, ask God for the greatest gift, that gift that comes with peace, that gift that comes with faith. That is faith. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe in Him. God bless you.